hospital working conditions improving, offering alternative therapies, 5 habits to avoid death, and a review of the physiological changes associated with pregnancy. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I'd like to welcome all of you to this week's program. If you're a brand new listener to The Nursing Show, you'll want to make sure to head over to nursingshow.com, where you'll find the show notes for this episode with all of the links to the resources talked about in this episode, as well as all of the other previous episodes. And you'll also find other interesting articles, links to interesting medical studies, and other information all over at nursingshow.com. So you'll want to make sure you check that out. Also, if you haven't already done so, you really want to make sure you sign up for the Nursing Show newsletter. That's available over at nursingshow.com, and you will be able to get access to all of the links from each week's episode emailed directly to you as part of the Nursing Show newsletter. It's a great way to keep track of those resources in your email files, and also a great way to keep in touch with what's going on here at the Nursing Show. Of course, this show wouldn't be what it is today without the community that has developed from the existing listeners that have been around and contributing their comments, their links, their suggestions, and sometimes their corrections to us here at The Nursing Show. If you have something you'd like to share, perhaps a news article you found, a research study, or a correction or a suggestion for a future episode, you can all send those in via email to comments@nursingshow.com. We'd love to hear from you. It's a great way to contribute back to the community and share what you're looking for in your nursing programming here on The Nursing Show. This is a community effort, and it's really great to hear from you whenever you send emails in, so keep sending them in. Coming up next Monday, you will be able to download the 5th episode of the month. This extra episode every month is actually a special segment where we interview someone in the nursing field, perhaps someone who's involved with some advanced techniques or perhaps examining a particular career path in nursing, and that will be coming up next Monday. This coming Monday's episode will be featuring Randy Goldberg. He's an RN and a toxicology specialist and works at Maryland Poison Control with our friend Lisa Booz. And he is going to talk a little bit about how you can become a poison control or poison center nurse. You do need to be an RN, and there's some other additional qualifications and information about how to get into that career path, and Randy will be talking about that this coming Monday. So make sure you check your podcast download software or check over at the Nursing Show website to get access to that particular episode. It will come down in the regular Nursing Show feed. I'll lead off today's look at the nursing news with a look at a story I found over at Medical News Today, and this is a story about how hospitals and facilities in the United States are changing the ways that they go about attracting nurses to come and work in their facilities. Anyone who's been around in nursing for any period of time has been aware of the bidding wars that have gone on, the increased wages, the bonus payments, all of the different ways that money has been thrown at bringing new nurses into the programs. But it is not a way for these hospitals to continue progressing, because as Medicare tightens their funding of hospitals and tightens the way that they're handling their billing with the avoidable complications additions to the Medicare billing program, certainly hospitals are having to tighten their belts. And so they're looking at alternative ways to induce nurses to come and work in their facilities. And this is an interesting way of looking at this. I mean, think about it. How many of you spend a certain amount of time after your shift getting paperwork done, following up on your charting, because you had to wait till there was another nurse there to cover you to finish up charting sometimes. This is a problem in some facilities. Well, what if you had a facility that really had an innovative charting system that allowed you to do much of your charting on the go with the click of a mouse and a few key phrases entered in? This is something that some facilities are finding as a good way to induce nurses to come work for them. There are other ways that hospitals are bringing nurses into their facilities by offering services like dry cleaning services. Bring your dry cleaning into work, drop it off, we'll go out and get it cleaned for you, and you can pick it up on your way back out to your car. Or car washes or oil changes. All of these things that make our lives so busy on their days off are great ways to take care of downtime for family time. You know, we're at work, we can't do that stuff. Well, if you have a facility that offers you oil changes as a perk for your job, you can bring your car to work, get your oil changed while you're at work, and go pick your car up in the parking lot on your way out. It's a great perk, and these are ways that certain facilities in my region here in the Mid-Atlantic area are dealing with having new services offered that don't necessarily cost a certain dollar amount per nurse as far as an hourly wage, but are actually perks that can be a lot cheaper in the long run when examined as the cost that they are adding on to everything. Now, there are new technologies that are being added, as I said, to reduce the amount of paperwork. They're also encouraging more flexible hours. People can self-schedule in some cases. This seems to be another trend that is picking up a little bit of momentum. And so these things are all ways to help encourage nurses to come work for facilities. I'm curious if you've seen changes in your facilities. What has worked? What is out there right now that's making you want to stay in your hospital facility or making you think about moving to a different hospital facility? I'd love to hear from the listeners on this. You can reach me by email at comments@nursingshow.com. Send those comments in about what programs you like, what you don't like, what are the ones that are most attractive to you. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that from the listeners. Our next article that we're going to take a look at today on the Nursing Show is from a USA Today article, and it is looking at hospitals using alternative treatments more and more frequently in helping patients have a positive hospital experience. In fact, based on a recent report from the American Hospital Association, 37% of hospitals around the U.S. have complementary or alternative treatments available, including acupuncture, touch therapy, massage, music, and art therapies as well. And all of these things are ways to help the patient feel more relaxed, be able to express themselves in different ways, and have more of a home-like experience in some ways, because they're not just in this cold hospital room that doesn't really feel all that comfortable or warm. They have someone coming in, they can look forward to a foot massage, or they can look forward to an aromatherapy session, or they can look forward to some other perks on top of their traditional medical treatment that they're receiving. And this is something that I think is going to continue as a trend as hospitals continue to offer things to bring patients into their hospital as a positive. Some of the money-making treatments that are out there, patients choose which hospital they're going to go to in their region. If you have a hospital nearby and another one 10 minutes farther away, perhaps you're going to look a little harder at the one that offers additional perks for, say, your pregnancy, for your childbirth experience, for your surgery. You may choose a physician based on which hospital they operate out of because you like the things that hospital is doing to improve your patient experience. And I think this is also going to continue more and more as hospitals seek ways to bring more patients in and trying to offset the additional costs involved in healthcare by increasing the volume of patients that they see. And one of the ways they're going to have to do that is to find ways to encourage patients to come into their facilities. So that's one side of it. Certainly the business and the marketing side of it is one big way of doing it. But from the nursing aspect, how can we benefit from this? Well, if we have patients that are anxious, that are upset, if there is an alternative therapy method in our hospital that we can refer that patient into a program while they're there during their stay, it may help relax them. It'll mean that maybe they aren't on the call button quite as frequently. It may mean that they are more relaxed and able to sleep better at night, which cuts down on your workload in the evenings and at night. All of these things go a long way towards helping to take care of that patient. Also, if it's something that they need to leave the unit to go do, it's, again, a little bit of downtime for you where you can focus on other patients and not have that one extra patient to look after. So these programs are positive, I think, all the way around, and it'll be interesting to see how they develop over time. Finally, I'll wrap up with a story that has both nursing aspects in patient treatment as well as nursing aspects in the subjects of the study. And this is a study that is looking at middle-aged women and identifying 5 health risk factors that can go a long way towards staving off early death risk. This is from one of those landmark studies that looked at female nurses for long periods of times with follow-up and resurveying and everything else. And this started in 1980. This is a study from Harvard University School of Public Health. They followed and interviewed 77,000 female nurses starting in 1980. And they interviewed these women. They were all cancer-free. They did not have cardiovascular disease, and they ranged in age from 34 to 59 years of age at the start of the study. During the time frame since, they have been followed and tracked for lifestyle habits, and 5 key lifestyle habits have been identified to have a key factor in their possibility of being dead at this period of time. Those 5 risk factors are cigarette smoking, being overweight, low physical activity, little to no alcohol use, and having a low quality diet. And these 5 things had a significant effect on the factors associated with whether these female nurses had lived or died by the time this follow-up study was wrapped up for this particular article. Having 5 of the 5 risk factors increased risk of death from cardiovascular disease by a factor of 8. The risk for dying from cancer was 3 times higher, and the risk of dying from any other cause was 4 times greater when you had 5 of the 5 risk factors. And then, of course, it stepped down below that. Now, this study is published at this time. You can check it out, but you can certainly follow up on the article in the show notes link and look at it more in depth. But it's certainly an interesting study, and also interesting to see how nurses are not just working in the health field on the patient care side, but also actively involved in tracking themselves for purposes of scientific study. Today's tip of the week brought to you by GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy.com offers you all of the resources you need to quickly, easily, and inexpensively get your own website or domain name or whatever web presence, internet presence you need. And because you're a listener of The Nursing Show, you get 10% off when you check out for most of the services. Check out the promo code BLU27, BLU27. That should get you 10% off most of what you check out. And if you are getting web hosting services specifically, try out the code POD27, POD27, to get your savings at GoDaddy.com and get your own piece of the internet. For the tip and trick of the week this week, we're going to be looking at some of the physiological changes associated with pregnancy. I know I'm a guy and I'm talking about pregnancy. I'll do the best I can, and I urge and recommend that you follow up on the resources that I'll provide links to in the show notes. There are a great number of excellent resources on all aspects of pregnancy, from pre-pregnancy planning, prenatal challenges, prenatal care, and then, of course, childbirth and beyond. So all of these resources and links you can find access to through the links in the show notes. one of the links that I found that's really excellent as a patient resource is a site over at the womenshealth.gov site. And this is the federal government resource for women's health information in general. And this site actually has an excellent page on a lot of information regarding pregnancy, from the very complex to the very simple aspects of understanding pregnancy. So I urge you to follow up and check that out. If you're a labor and delivery nurse, this is something that is coming very naturally to you probably at this point. Of course, if you've been pregnant before, a lot of these things are going to be very obvious to you as well. But for those of us in other areas of nursing, we don't come in contact with pregnant women very frequently in our jobs. And so it's important for us to review some of these changes that we need to be aware of. It will affect things like vital signs. It will affect some of the ways that we have to examine these patients. And in cases of emergency treatment, it will affect how we handle some of the things that we see going on and some of the aspects of our assessment. Of course, the changes in pregnancy revolve around the fact that the uterus now has a new passenger. This starts out, of course, very small. But as the uterus continues to grow along with the fetus, the increased amounts of estrogen will cause different changes throughout the body. Enlargement in the size of the uterus, increase in the weight, strength, and elasticity and vascularity of the uterus. And this can be important when we're looking at internal bleeding problems following something like a traumatic injury, or if a patient was being prepared for surgery for something other than the pregnancy. Patients may also experience an increase or a change in the consistency of their normal vaginal secretions. As far as total body changes that go on, first of all, the respiratory system, everything's ramping up to provide additional resources for both the mother and the growing fetus. And so everything is going to be increasing across the board. Respiratory system, we're going to see increased volume of air. We're going to see dilation of the airways. We're going to see the fact that respiratory rate will increase because of the need to hyperoxygenate the blood. The circulatory system is going to increase the amount of blood volume significantly. Cardiac output is going to increase. There may be an increase in heart rate as well as an increase in the total cardiac output. And this will increase as the size of the uterus increases and as the size of the fetus increases in order to provide more and more blood flow to that area. Increased numbers of red blood cells will increase, so you're going to see changes in the patient's hematocrit and hemoglobin because of the fact that they need to provide more oxygenation in their blood supply. And clotting factors are going to increase as well, and this may change their risks for something like the formation of a thrombus, of a pulmonary embolism, or increase their risk for stroke. So these things need to be monitored carefully. Additionally, there are changes to the body's other systems, gastrointestinal system. Because of the presence of the additional hormones, specifically progesterone, there's going to be a slowing of the gastrointestinal system, delayed gastric emptying, as well as a slowdown of total peristalsis. And this is going to be encouraging the body to get more out of every food item that's brought in. But what ultimately happens is that this can cause additional nausea, and this is where you get your morning sickness, or actually, in the case of my wife, all-day sickness. There are changes in the urinary tract as well. The kidneys ramp up to process increased blood volume by increasing the rate at which blood is filtered through the glomerular system. Also, there is increased reabsorption on the tubular side, the renal tubules. All of this system is part of the increase in the total fluid volume inside the body. Of course, this means that pregnant women need to be really aware of when they become dehydrated, because they really need that additional fluid volume to keep everything moving around, especially in the case of the fact that they are going to be at increased risk for clot formation. There may be changes noticed in skin pigmentation due to the hormones being released. There are also going to be increased metabolic, basal metabolic rate. Women frequently complain of being hot all the time when they're pregnant, and this is due to the fact that the thyroid is slightly enlarged and producing overtime to increase the metabolism. There are going to be increased amounts of other hormones released from the pituitary gland, and in the musculoskeletal system, the joints begin to have a relaxation effect as a result of the hormones, and this is all to prepare the body to facilitate as smooth a pregnancy and as smooth a delivery as possible. So sometimes you'll hear complaints of joint pain because of the fact that their joints are a little more flexible and a little more mobile within the joint itself than patients are used to. Other changes that we really need to be aware of are the fact that in the endocrine system, not just the pituitary hormones, but the fact that there are continually increased insulin needs. And this is where some women who are already perhaps insulin resistant because of a prior pre-diabetic state, whether it's due to their weight or due to other familial factors, this is where pregnancy-induced hypertension and diabetes and other problems come into play. It's important for us to be aware of this, to make sure that they are eating a healthy diet, that they're not overloading on carbs to the point that they are causing themselves to become hyperglycemic. Again, this may be something that requires further testing, and there, of course, are blood tests that are performed quite regularly on women that are at risk for gestational diabetes. We will also likely have to change our assessment techniques in some ways to facilitate adequate assessment of particularly the abdomen. As the uterus continues to increase in size, as the fetus grows, it will displace some of the abdominal organs. So you'll have to assess in a broader area in some cases to get a good idea of presence of bowel sounds, as well as other assessment techniques such as palpation. Also, there will be increased problems with urinary continence. In some women, this is more of a problem than others, but because the fact that the uterus is putting pressure on all of the organs in the abdominal and the pelvic areas, the bladder is under constant assault, and so urinary frequency is a problem. Constantly feeling like urination is needed is an issue. And so be prepared for a patient who needs to void frequently and be respectful of that and understanding of that. Also, remind patients that they need to be careful and be aware of possibility of urinary tract infections, bladder infections, because of the increased risks of infection during pregnancy. All of this will cause additional challenges for the nurse assessing a pregnant patient. Now, I want to put a call out there to all of you who are labor and delivery nurses listening to The Nursing Show. If you would like to come on the show and be interviewed over the phone with me, and we can talk a little bit about some of the challenges of labor and delivery nursing, perhaps some of the things that a nurse interested in labor and delivery can look forward to as far as their career path, this would be something I would love to share with the rest of the community here at The Nursing Show. If you would be interested in that, contact us here by sending an email to comments@nursingshow.com. We would love to share your experiences with the other listeners. That's going to wrap up this episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank everybody for checking out this week's episode and remind all of you that there are links to all of the resources and articles discussed in this episode available for you to follow up on your own over at nursingshow.com. And this is your job. I can present general information here, but it's your job to make sure that you know how it fits into your own practice or your own assessment protocols, whatever, in your facilities. So follow up, use these resources, and expand your knowledge even further with what we provide here at The Nursing Show. You'll find all of that over at nursingshow.com. If you have any comments to share about this particular episode, please don't hesitate to send them in. You can contact us at comments@nursingshow.com. All right, that's it for me. I'm going to wrap up the show, as I always do, with some excellent PodSafe music that you'll find over at the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. This particular song from an artist by the name of Curtis Peoples, and Curtis's song is Back Where I Started. If you like what you hear, check out Curtis's link in the show notes and let him know you heard it here on The Nursing Show. That's it for me. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, reminding all of you to remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
Save you at all. Your cheating has broke us apart. Fooled around on me this time. Fooled around for the last time, baby. Now I'm back where I started. This lonely dance of a broken heart. Close.